I have chosen another key event in the history of the world. We looked at the creation, the flood, and the fall, at the calling of a people. Today I'm looking at the giving of the Ten Commandments. And as a text, I would like to choose one that you may find unusual, but I will try to make it clear later in the sermon. Luke chapter 10 has another of those famous stories, like the one Dennis read earlier. I'm going to do it without any humming, hopefully, but same sound effects. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he, wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hand of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." There is a feeling that is common to people of every age and every time. It is the feeling of doing wrong. Everybody has a conscience. Now, I know there are some among you who will argue with me and say there's people that don't have a conscience. There's serial killers, and there's psychopaths, and there's mothers-in-laws. But my indication is that, generally speaking, everybody has a conscience. The Bible says it is the remnants of the Ten Commandments that are written on the heart. They're written on the heart of every man, woman, and child that has ever existed. They form a basis for the laws that govern the lands around the globe. Even those who have never read the Bible, according to the Bible, still have that same law written in their heart, so they know what is right and what is wrong to a limited extent. I know the Ten Commandments are famous today because they're in the news. People are arguing whether or not they should be on the walls of buildings or published in certain schools or government books or such. I don't really worry about such issues. According to the Bible, whether or not they are nailed on the wall of any building, God wrote them on the hearts of all mankind. They're out there, whether people like it or not. My question to you, my first one is, are they a gift or a burden? They bring order to the world, and they bring order to our lives, and they are a guide, and we make personal decisions about what is right or wrong according to the Ten Commandments. There are times when we can't go on what we can think is fair or what everybody else is doing. We have to say, what does the Word of God say? What do the Ten Commandments say? And we want to have boundaries in our lives. The Ten Commandments show us how to be a saint. But the Ten Commandments also show us what failure is. And they actually bring death into the world. The Ten Commandments are not a way to heaven. They define sin, and sin must be punished. The Ten Commandments define us as sinners. So my other question to you today is, which are you? Are you a saint or are you a sinner? Well, you know someone around you who is someone you would classify as saint. In fact, you probably used that term before. He or she is a saint. The idea is that you know somebody who does so many nice things. You know they are especially good people. We almost never say it about us, because when you know the law and you understand that words you say are judged by the law, things you do are judged by the law, even thoughts are judged by the law, when you know all of that, You never feel like you're a saint. You always know you're just a sinner. Line all the condemned criminals in the country up. Go visit them where they are all on. Take all the people in our country who are condemned to die for some terrible crime that they have done and go visit them. And I bet you would find some of them that scare you to death. I bet you'd find some of them that are just horrible, hateful, mean people. But I bet you some of them would be very nice. I bet you could have great conversations with some of them. Some of them you might even wonder why they're there. But when all is said and done, they all suffer the same penalty. They are all facing the death penalty. The Ten Commandments put us all in the same boat. We all face the death penalty when it comes to our actions. If they are all you have, the Ten Commandments, then you might be one of the best in the group. You might be really a nice person that everybody thinks is wonderful, but you are still on death row. The end is the same. The penalty is death. If every time you break a commandment, if every time you break a commandment is listed on some sheet of paper somewhere, if every time during the day you say a word you should not have said and you break a commandment of God that says love your neighbor as yourself, if every time you have a thought that places some object ahead of God or puts yourself in the midst of some commission of sin, it's written down. Can you imagine the length of the list of sins that would be there? If all you have is the law, finally all you have is death. And you have a desperate need to know what Paul Harvey called the rest of the story. The sense of failure leaves you grasping for a way to escape your sinfulness. I took that tuner thing that Tommy had last night after church. I sang a couple of bars into it and it started smoking and turned solid red. I don't know. What does that mean? I don't know. It started in the Garden of Eden after the fall. Adam and Eve were thrown out of the garden by God, and he pronounced a death sentence on them. They were created to live forever. They were destined to live in paradise, and they lost both of them. There was a rule, one rule, and they broke that rule. It amazes me. They lived in, we will sometimes step out on a spring day and think this is paradise, but no place we've ever been is as perfect as the place they lived, and they woke up there every day. And they broke that rule, and the penalty was clear. God threw them out of the garden. God gave them the death sentence, but he did not leave them in despair. At the very same time, he said someday there would be a Savior, and he would save them back into a relationship, and they would live in the garden again, and they would live and never die again. The Ten Commandments are only death if you don't know about that promise. Jesus came to take the sting of death away from the law. I've heard descriptions of all the animals that can kill you, from honeybees to rattlesnakes to all of the different things, and each one has some stinger or some point to deliver poison to you, and without that, they are harmless. Jesus came to take the sting of death from the Ten Commandments. All those sins listed below your name, he came to take them under his own ownership. It wasn't that the Son of God just died because he thought if he could do something nice, God would bless all of you. When he died guilty of every sin that will ever be committed. He took on himself the sin of all mankind. The Bible says God made him to be sin who knew no sin. He came to do the dying. And what he did was he took the power of the Ten Commandments, the power to kill you, away from the Ten Commandments. And now he offers you property in paradise, greatest gift of all. He offers you the guarantee that you will not die, but you will live forever. And it only happened because he took the power to kill away from the law of God. Now, he gives back the Ten Commandments. So who are you? Are you saint or sinner? You are now standing in the company of saints. You are now a saint. It is a gift he gives you. You live with a calling, and here's where the story of the Good Samaritan comes in. The Good Samaritan did not pass by on the other side. You know why the priest and Levite passed by on the other side? They thought they were obeying the law of God. The Good Samaritan knew the law of God was summed up in the words of love. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself. The Ten Commandments is a guide to help us do the right thing with what we say, to do the right thing with what we do. It does not earn our way to heaven. There's this horrible, horrible view. I hear it all the time on day-to-day conversations, on television and radio, that is just satanic in its gruesomeness. It's the idea that you measure your life with the Ten Commandments and you take a list of all the good that you do and you list all the bad that you do, and if the good outweighs the bad, then you're going to heaven. If the bad outweighs the good, then you're going to hell. It's a horrible, horrible idea. Completely goes against the Word of God. Has to be of the devil. The Ten Commandments are not the way to heaven. They're not the way to salvation. They are the path we walk until the day we step into heaven. They are the rules of engagement. Are you a saint or a sinner? Lutherans have always said, you're both. I've never liked that answer. We take our sin to Jesus Christ and we receive forgiveness and we walk away and we are forgiven. Suppose we have the confession of sins and I give you that absolution with the sign of the cross. You sit there and the world ends right then. Right then the world ends. You'd be sitting there, no sins to your name, and you would go to heaven, right? What if it was the day before church? What if you've had a week where you've done some things you should not have done? And you haven't come here and confessed your sin, and the world suddenly ends then, how many sins will you have to your name? You will have none. You live forgiven of your sins. You are to step away from sin. You are to avoid sin. You are to be obedient to the Ten Commandments, but you live as a saint all the moments of your life. It is an absolute truth. The Bible says there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Doesn't say every Sunday afternoon after church, it starts over again. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus looked at the work he had done on the cross. He said, it is finished. And he meant all the work of salvation was finished. Nothing left for you to do. Nothing left for you to say. Nothing left for you to be. The Bible describes salvation as something you receive as a gift from God. So I like to stand before you as a saint and address myself to saints who have been given a privilege by God to walk through this world. And the guidelines you have, we call them the Ten Commandments. They're a way for you to talk, and they're a way for you to live, and they're a way for you to be. We get to be saints here until the day when we get to be saints there. That's the gift from God. God grant it in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, guard this treasure we have in Jesus. Amen.